Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What's Up at the Owl's Nest. I am your host, Nasia Creamer, and who do I have in the Owl's Nest? I have Dr. Ben Fissler. He is a professor of theater arts, and he's brought with him a student, Josh Yeagle, and we are here talking about not only theater, but the improv club and the costuming and fashion clubs here on campus. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, Nasia. Thank you for giving us the time here. Mm-hmm.
So I love theater, and when I saw that we had all these different clubs on campus, I said, oh, we must get them on the Owl's Nest. So we're going to first talk about the improv club. So Josh, can you explain to the listeners what improv is?
So improv is a form of theater where there is no script. It is entirely satire where you decide what's going to happen inside each and every scene. The fun thing about improv is that you do not need to be a theater major at all. You can be whatever sort of major and join just for the fun of it.
All right. If you can give us a little bit of information about the club, what is it and what do you guys do?
Well, what we do at the Improv Club, we meet usually every single Friday at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We usually will meet, do some fun games. We usually take some inspiration from Whose Line Is It Anyway? And usually just do a few of the games, and that's about the entire thing we do there.
How many members do you have in the club?
We have, I believe, 5 members, not including me. Mm-hmm. So a good handful of people. We can get through a lot of the games.
Awesome. Do you put on shows for the college?
We do. We do usually a showcase of our performance at the end of each semester, usually week before finals, and we present just a few of the games we've been practicing over the semester and showcase some of the performances that the actors work on.
All right. Are there any performances coming up soon?
At the moment, no, but I am talking to the president of the Actors Guild to see if we can do something this semester.
All right. Can you describe some of the improv games that you do?
One of the best games that I personally like is called Change, where two actors will stand up on stage and a third, usually I will be sitting down and change whatever the actors are saying. So say someone's talking about taking their dog to the vet. I can say change, and they have to think of a new place that they're taking their dog to.
Okay.
There's also a very long-form game called Lazy Susan, which is sort of a Lazy Susan, which is the roundabout in kitchens. Usually, 4 people will go up, and it's sort of 4 vignettes that they each do and will rotate between the scenes.
Wow. When I was in high school, I played this game called Zip Zap Zop. Y'all played that before?
Yeah, that's a good warm-up game that we sometimes use.
It is. I love that one. What about when you have to say, what are you doing? And then the person has to act it out, like what you're doing. You did that one before?
I've actually not heard about that one before. I'm going to have to look that up now.
Yeah, so it's like, what are you doing? And then the person who is answering says, I'm combing my hair. But then the person that asked the question actually have to act out combing the hair. It's like really cool because it like reverses your thought process. So, Josh, you are the president of the club, correct?
Yes, this is my first semester as president.
What is your inspiration for leading the club?
Well, I've been here for 5 semesters, and I've done improv ever since my first. So I've seen how the president has worked and done things throughout the semesters I've been here. And I decided to be more social and try to take up a leadership role once both of them have left the improv group to pursue more things. So I sort of took up the mantle since I was the one staying here and was ready to lead the improv.
Awesome. So what do you do?
Usually I will lead the discussion by warming everyone up and picking the games and activities that we'll be doing for each and every meeting. So I'm usually the one that decides what games we're doing, what things we'll be doing, working on, and I'll give feedback usually at the end of each game.
Okay. And do many of the actors in the improv club, do they also act in plays?
Sometimes, but sometimes no. Usually improv is just a good way for them to just like relax, have fun, and do something a bit more goofy.
Okay. All right. Is the club still open even though we're like halfway almost through the semester?
Oh, absolutely. Anyone can come down to the improv group at any time. We meet Fridays to 2 to 4.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for coming on.
No problem.
I just wanted to add that that is in our Black Box Theater, which is in Joppa Hall, room 032. So if you're looking for it, it is a theater completely for student projects, productions, and of course the theater program, which is in the back left corner. So this is just one of the many exciting things that are going on in that sort of back corner of Joppa Hall every day of the week.
Yep. Cool. Thanks, Dr. Ben Fisler. You just heard the voice of Ben Fisler. We actually had him on the show not too long ago, and he was talking about the theater department and reaching out to the Costume and Fashion Club. I had no idea you were over that as well.
Yeah. One of the great things about our student activities at Harford Community College is that we're very well supported, and there's of course, large organizations like the Actors Guild, but there are also smaller organizations like Costuming and Fashion Club. And the nice thing about Costuming and Fashion Club is that although it's a leaner group, they've been involved in a lot of different things that would potentially be of interest to individuals, some of whom are involved in theater and some of whom are involved in fashion and some of whom are just enjoy cosplays and, you know, festivals and conventions and things. And they've done a little bit of all of that. We've partnered with the Gamers Guild as part of their particular cosplay competition for Harcon. We have helped with certain kinds of productions and there's been a lot going on here and there with the Costuming and Fashion Club, and it's been around about 3 years now. It was the brainchild of a former student who has moved on but left that as one of her legacies.
Sounds awesome. And when does this club meet?
The Costuming and Fashion Club usually meets about every other Wednesday, but students who are interested should contact me and I'll get them in touch with the president of the Costuming and Fashion Club and the officers for the club. We can get them in touch with them and then make, you know, and then say, well, you know, I'm interested in the Costuming and Fashion Club. And we could say, well, we're meeting, we've met a couple of times throughout the course of the semester to try to plan mostly for events that are going on in the spring like Harcon.
Okay. So for this club, do they make costumes for the theater department plays?
That is not their primary purpose,
okay,
but they have in the past. A lot of it depends upon who's involved in the Costuming and Fashion Club in the given semester. But the goal of the Costuming and Fashion Club is to be a standalone organization for students interested in all things costuming and fashion.
Awesome.
We've even gone to sewing conventions.
Do they go together, like the club? They go to these conventions and things together?
Yes, as a matter of course. You know, any student activity, when we go on a trip, there's a whole process to make sure that the, you know, that all the students can participate. And it's usually a really good experience.
Cool. And when they're here on campus, do they design their own fashions from beginning to end, like drawing and then sewing?
We have had some of that in the past. A lot of it depends upon the energy of the individuals. And, you know, every person in the world is being pulled in 15 different directions in 2019. So the results have been wonderful. But given the size of the Costuming and Fashion Club, it's still very much a growing entity, and we're very excited to see where it goes in the next few years.
Okay. So how does the club think about fashion nowadays? Do they like the fashion now? Or because, you know, fashion recycles. So what is like the context or the talk in the club?
That's a really interesting question, and probably, you know, I think you've stumped the jury just now because it's not a question I've really thought about. Josh will back me up on this. He'll say that I'm kind of a fan of the arts in general. Like, that's always been kind of the person I've been. So I guess it never occurred to me to think about, like, how would we like to see fashion trends happening? You know, to me, it's always about contributing. It's like, you know, it's like, well, if you like this, then make more of that. And if you like this, make more of that. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Just worry about what you want to make.
Right. What about you, Josh? You're a part of the club too, right?
I've dabbled.
You dabbled in the club?
I have dabbled in the club. I more like love to see the sort of stuff that they make to that extent, because it's more of a, as Ben says, you like that, you make it. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to see what people are interested in, what sort of designs they'll create.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of 80s and 90s fashion is coming back up, but in its own way, like in mm-hmm. its own style, but it's coming up again, and it's, you know, the end thing in fashion. So that's where my inspiration for the question came up.
Thank you.
So is there anything else that you would like to let our listeners know about either one of these clubs, the Improv Club and the Costume and Fashion Club?
I would say just if you find any of this intriguing, meet with the Improv Club on Fridays or join up with the Costuming and Fashion Club or like you said, I was on Owl's Nest and I was talking, it seemed, for a long time about the Actors Guild. But I would say that anything you're interested in, Student Activities is very supportive of the various interests that our students have. And it's a wonderful way. Harford Community College is a very active place. And that support that we have, not only for students in the classroom, but also for the ways in which that activity spills beyond the classroom and becomes part of the daily life, I think that's really where organizations like Improv Club and Costuming Fashion Club and Actors Guild really become crucial to your college experience. So if you're interested, just reach out and get involved.
Love it. Again, my name is Nasia Creamer, and I have Ben Fissler and Josh Yeagle here, and they are talking about the Costuming and Fashion Club and Improv Club. And Ben Fissler is a part of the theater department here at Harford Community College. And if you love theater, you love fashion, you love acting and improv, hit Ben Fissler up. Right? What's your email address?
Yes, absolutely. You can reach me at bfissler@harford.edu. That's bfissler@harford.edu.
My name is Nasia Creamer, and I'm signing off on the Owl's Nest.
Hey, you're listening to Owl Nest. My name is Gabriel Bassford. I'm working as a volunteer at WHFC. Currently, we are trying to interview two content creators here at WHFC, Nasia and Matt. Our first question we might as well start off with is, what started your passion for radio?
Well, for me, it started a long time ago, really. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I always liked playing around with microphones, and you know, I'd do silly things with my voice. I'd change the speed and tempo. I'd put different special effects on it. And you know, I've always, and to this day, want to be a voice actor. And you know, radio is an excellent platform, and WHFC is one of the best platforms that I've ever been on, you know, to help with broadcast performance and, you know, gaining confidence behind that microphone.
Nasia, so basically, what got you to actually go onto radio? What really gave you passion for radio?
Well, actually, I talk about this a lot. Mm-hmm. I am really a performer. I love dance. Mm-hmm. I'm an artist. I love theater. And that's all I've ever done. Since the age of 4 years old, I've been dancing and on the stage. And when I went to college, I was like, okay, I've been on the stage, but what else is Nasia? So then I decided I wanted to go behind the scenes and work for like lighting and sound and do all of the things in theater and dance, but on the opposite side. And then once I got into sound, I was like, I love the microphones. I love the speakers. I love adjusting the levels, because then it got to the point where, all right, you speak it too loud. Like, I need to bring you down. And I liked being the person behind the stage. And then from there I went, okay, well, maybe I could do something with this. And I like to talk a lot. I merged me talking with actually the love of sound, and mm-hmm. then it became broadcast. And with dance, I mix music. I, you know, make mixes. I think I'm a, you know, music director type of thing. So it just all like folded into one. And I was like, I think I'm going to like this. And then that's when I decided to go to school for broadcasting. and I went to Howard University. I majored in radio, television, and film. And from graduation on, it's been radio and television. I love audio, mics, sound. I love being the master brain behind the shows, because if you think about it, the on-air personalities, they're doing the talking, but the producers, we're the masterminds, we're the brains, the creative minds behind it. So I love mixing my artistic abilities of dance with sound and audio, and out of that came my love for radio.
I just want to kind of second that. I feel similarly. That's why I work so well with Naysha here. I'm first and foremost a performer. I like being able to entertain people, and I also like to wake people up to a lot of the different types of music that there are out there and all the different cool musicians that are within the Maryland area and the county area. And that's one of the reasons why I started the Fresh Tracks show program.
Amazing. Actually, you did mention that you there's plenty of local musicians and in the local area. So have you ever interviewed these people, and how did those interviews usually go?
We started Fresh Tracks in May of 2019, and it's become, the word's out about it. It's become a pretty popular platform for local musicians in not just Harford County, but in the Maryland, D.C. area as well, to come and to get their music heard. I wanted to make it a platform for all genres, and that way, maybe if they don't have that stage, or if they're looking for that place to have their music heard, that is the whole idea behind Fresh Tracks. And it's one of the only programs that I know of right now in public radio that's doing that.
Amazing. And is there any huge people, any big celebrities, artists that you have interviewed on this platform?
If you're talking about, being heard, say, on more than just the county level, I have interviewed Kelly Bell from the Kelly Bell Band. He's a gas, man. He is so super fun. I really, really enjoyed his music. He's a mixture of rock and blues with some soul. And just a super guy. He's got a great personality. And I also more recently interviewed Jared Arosemena. He's an internationally known jazz recording artist. He's a saxophonist. And can't say enough good things about Jared. Just a wonderful guy, crazy smart, knows his stuff. And also we've just had Miles Brown, another international jazz artist. The man is just phenomenal. We talked about his newest album, Evidence of Body and Soul, and just a super guy.
Before you went live on radio station, before you even started off this career, did you undergo any training? Were you self-taught, or did you have some sort of mentor that taught you?
Well, I always think of Jim Armstrong from Towson University as a mentor to me, as well as our station manager and operations managers, Gary Helton and Terry Troyer. They've definitely helped to coach me a lot. I did do radio when I was at Towson University on XTSR. It's some of my fonder memories. I guess for my training, I did theater all throughout my high school and most of my college career. And that really did help me as far as give me the confidence, as it were, to step up in front of a microphone, I think.
And you, Naysha?
Before college, no. I've never stepped front of a microphone. But Howard University, I had great teachers, great instructors. They got rid of the mic fright, because mic fright is real.
Oh, yeah.
And people get in front of a mic and they freeze up and don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So I've had great instructors at Howard University that helped me push through that and really helped me round myself out and really get my content out there and make sure that I'm a good broadcaster and speak. You have to enunciate. You have to do all those types of things. So I credit my professors at Howard University. And like I said before, I like to talk. So, you know, I think it was meant for radio was meant for me.
Another question I have for you was there any problems or hardships that you faced as a content creator for WHFC?
First off, when you're producing a show, you have to find people to come on to the show, and then you have to speak with them. You have to schedule them, and people have, you know, they have some wily schedules, and you got to work around those schedules. And then once you get them in there, you've got to, you know, make sure that you interview them in an entertaining enough fashion to where you're engaging. And then comes post-production, you know. If things aren't radio-friendly, you know, you want to, not that that really happens much, but you always want to, you know, do some elimination of unnecessary breaths. And Nasia, how many long, awkward pauses have we edited out of material?
Lots of long, awkward pauses. In one interview, I edited out 30. Yeah, so we fix it in post-production, and that's something within itself. It takes a long time.
And you do have to go back into post-production, and you have to make sure that it's air safe. Those are some things that I think that people don't always think about when they hear something. They, you know, it can be taken for granted, because as a content creator, your main objective is to make things sound seamless, to make them sound as if it is simply just a very, very fluid conversation.
And another thing that's difficult with post, as the producers, we have to make producer judgment. So the show may be 30 minutes, but we have 42 minutes of content. So we have to cut out 12 minutes. So what of that 12 minutes are we going to cut out? So you don't want to take out the most pertinent information, but everything is pertinent because it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. So we have to make that judgment call as producers of how to make the show, how to make it fit time, what to cut out, what to keep in. And, you know, sometimes those judgment calls are tough. I had a tough call, and I was like, I really don't want to cut this out. This is some really good information, but I had to make time.
Yeah.
The show is only an hour, so I can't have an hour and 5 minutes. I just can't. So that's tough as content creators and producers, but, you know, it also gives us the creative control to have the show go the way we would like.
And speaking of creative, Fresh Tracks is not the only new program that WHFC has produced. Nasia, you are the producer for the Hartford Sports Hour.
The Hartford Sports Hour.
Whoa! Wow!
Yeah, so the Hartford Sports Hour, it is a hour show produced here at HCC, and we focus on local sports in Maryland. And specifically Hartford County, but we go out of Hartford a little bit and we talk about all types of sports, football, basketball, baseball. I had an equestrian coach on there. For those of you who don't know, that's horse jumping, gymnastics, cheer. We interview coaches, players. We do golf tournaments, all that type of stuff. And I really love sports. So this show is a really good outlet for me to get my creative juices flowing. And it also is a good outlet for local athletes and coaches to get their teams on and to really highlight, you know, those student athletes who are just doing the thing.
So out of all the radio stations, why would you choose this one? Why would you choose a radio station that's on a community college?
I would say because of its mission. WHFC is the only radio station right now in the Baltimore metro area that is giving real world experience to its students, training them up while on air. We also center around community involvement and community outreach, which is a big part of what I do here at the station. I'm the community outreach specialist. We want to partner with different organizations. We want to help them get their material. A lot of times it's educational material. Personally, I value the fact that we stand before and behind informing the public, not just entertaining them. Of course, entertaining is a thrill, and I enjoy doing so. But we have a lot of educational content, features. We have things like Earthwise. We have things like Fitness Minute and Jazz Moment. We have all these educational vignettes that give information, snapshots of information out to the public. So they're not just being entertained, they're being informed as well. And coming from parents who were educators, that is a particularly important part for me.
Matt was saying, because we are very catering to the students here at Hartford Community College, and that's a very enjoyable thing for me, because like I was talking earlier, I credit a lot of my confidence to my professors, and you know, they just taught me how to be myself and to be outgoing in front of the mic. And if I could take a little bit of what they taught me and give it back to the students here and make them feel comfortable, if they can look up to me and if I can help in any way and give back and teach the students what I know, I love that WHFC is really catering to the students here.
The good thing about WHFC is that, you know, we stand ready to train students and give them those real life skills that they will need that will help them in their careers as future broadcasters.
Last question I have is there any tips or advice that you want to give out to people who want to work in this industry?
Start early. Start early, and I would recommend that you have internships under your belt before you start working at any media outlet. So that is my advice. Even if you're not paid, the pay that you get will be in the experience, and make time for internships, because that's really, really where you will learn all of your necessary job labor skills.
I would say don't be afraid to be well-versed. So behind the mic, behind the production, interviewing skills, it all is important. For the job that we do. You know, we wear a lot of hats around here. We help out one another, and when someone needs help, we cover each other. So you need to be well-versed, and don't be afraid, you know, to make mistakes. That's what we do. But it's going to help you become a stronger and better broadcaster and media professional, because we do a lot around here. Do a lot.
Yes,
so,
we do.
Being well-versed.
Anyways, thank you guys for tuning up to the Owl Nest. This has been Gabriel Bassford, working as a volunteer at 91.1 WHFC. I'll see all of you guys later.
Well done, Gabe. We're so proud of our students here at 91.1 WHFC, and having them interview us is one of the many ways in which we give our students those real-world experiences to train them up for broadcasting. I'd also like to thank Josh Yeagle, student president of the Improv Club, for coming on, and Professor Ben Fissler from the Drama Department. We're out of time here for the Owl's Nest, but rest assured, we'll be back again next week. And until then, stay curious.